coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
Love Letters, a Bible study on the epistles with Pastor Arno Bessel of St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth, Devon.
Welcome to the series of Bible studies on the letter of the Apostle Paul to the Philippians. In Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 to 6, the Apostle writes the following. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you is no trouble to me, and is safe for you. Look out for the dogs. Look out for the evildoers. Look out for those who mutilate the flesh. For we are the circumcision, who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus, and put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also. If anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. As to the law, a Pharisee. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church. As to righteousness under the law, blameless. Rejoicing in the Lord is a recurring theme in Philippians. Paul encourages the believers to rejoice although experiencing trouble. Then he picks up matters he had dealt with previously, either face to face when he was in Philippi, or perhaps in an earlier letter. Reminders of things said are always necessary, for they provide safety against the constant assault of falsehood, particularly concerning Christian teachings. The issue of concern to which the Philippians were exposed was circumcision. Paul warns the Philippians to look out for the dogs, look out for the evildoers, look out for those who mutilate the flesh. Because dogs bit and devoured the flesh of others, Paul used the term to describe the Jews who insisted on circumcision as a required practice in their religion. In biblical times, dogs were fairly despised animals, because they preyed on the sick, dying, or dead. So false teaching concerning circumcision was threatening the believers in Philippi that it had become nothing more than a useless cutting of the body. True circumcision in Old Testament times marked a person as belonging to the people of God. However, the simple outward sign means nothing if the heart of a person has not experienced rebirth or regeneration. Trusting in a physical mark is in vain. Knowing Christ and believing in Him is what matters. The Spirit of God generates a new heart and moves the soul to faith, which is the origin of genuine worship of God. Paul describes his physical descent, his heritage, and his conduct before knowing Christ. He was circumcised on the eighth day. He was a legitimate descendant of the people of Israel. He was a strict observer of the law as a member of the Pharisees, the most earnest sect of Judaism. He was an extremely zealous man to the point of persecuting the Christian church, believing he was doing the right thing. In his eyes, he was a righteous and faultless man. All these things, nonetheless, availed for nothing in the eyes of God. This is what Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 to 11. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For His sake I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ, and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God, that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Formerly, Paul tried to please God obeying the law, trusting in his good deeds, including persecution of the church. He was convinced that Jesus Christ intended to undermine Jewish law. So Paul joined others in the attempt to destroy the followers of Jesus. He was certain it was right to do so. However, Paul experienced a complete turnaround in his life when the Lord Jesus revealed himself to him and he was converted to the Christian faith. What Paul valued before, now he considered loss, actually interfering with knowing God. What he esteemed to be vital in the past, now he considered rubbish or human waste. Knowing Christ is surpassingly greater compared to what formerly seemed to be good works. What really matters is being in Christ, enjoying a union with Christ through faith. By faith, the righteousness of Jesus Christ becomes the righteousness of the believer. The forgiveness of sins obtained by Jesus with his sacrifice on the cross is given to the believer by faith. He is declared forgiven, reconciled to God, righteous. That is what Paul is saying. The union of the believer with Christ by faith is so intimate that the believer shares in Christ's sufferings and death, and, above all, shares in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The believer trusts in a brilliant future, for Jesus Christ will raise his body from the grave and grant eternal life. With that in mind, Paul continues to write in his letter to the Philippians, chapter 3, verses 12 to 16. Not that I have already obtained this, or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. In and through Christ Jesus, Paul envisions a splendid future of resurrection and life never ending. However, Paul is conscious that he has not attained it yet. He is on the way. Paul uses the image and the example of an athletic race practiced by the Greeks. An athlete endures tough exercises, discipline, and pain, preparing for the race. During the race, the athlete concentrates on the goal, presses ahead, and tries to ignore anything left behind or any distraction on the sides. The athlete keeps before his eyes the goal of reaching the end of the race and winning the prize. This is the image the Apostle Paul has in mind when he describes Christian life. Christ has taken hold of the believer. He belongs to Christ. The final goal of eternal salvation, however, has not been reached yet. The believer is on the way. He is racing. During the race, Jesus Christ supplies the resources needed to press ahead toward the goal. The Apostle invites us to join him in the race. In doing so, Paul advises us to forget what is behind, that is, to be confident that our sins have been forgiven and have been dealt with by Jesus. Paul encourages us to keep in mind the goal to win the prize of eternal salvation Jesus already has won for us. This is the view of mature believers, Paul says, to have Christ's mind firmly enough in order to see matters as Christ does. Paul continues to encourage the Philippians as he writes in chapter 3, verse 17, to chapter 4, verse 1. Brothers, join in imitating me, and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many, of whom I have often told you, and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction, their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame, with minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body, by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. Paul sets himself as an example to be followed in the Christian life. In other words, the way Paul follows the example of Christ, so let us think, speak, and live as Paul does. The lifestyle Christians lead ought to be models worth to be followed by others. Paul also warns the Philippians of trouble. He had warned them several times before, but now he says it again, even with tears. What was the trouble? The trouble was that many people lived as enemies of the cross of Christ, in glaring contrast to Paul's conduct and to the truth of the gospel. Paul had in mind particularly Jews who refused to admit their sin, and so also refused to accept the fact that Jesus' death on the cross availed for their forgiveness and salvation. Sadly, the destiny of those who do not repent of their sin and do not believe in Jesus Christ is destruction, that is, they will be cut off eternally from God in hell. People who do not believe in the true God create their own gods. One of these gods is the belly. They are self-centered and serve the appetites of their human nature. All that matters is to explore and enjoy pleasures that can be found in this present world. They glory in their shame, says the apostle. It is shameful to do anything that contradicts God's design for human life. But human arrogance actually prides itself of such behavior and flaunts this attitude as though it were something of which to be proud. The minds of these people concentrate on things here on earth, ignoring any reality beyond the present world. Their philosophy of life is this: let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Paul reminds us Christians that there is more to life than the things here on earth. He says that our citizenship is in heaven. For the Philippians, it was a matter of pride to be Roman citizens. Roman citizenship ascribed fame and privileges to them. Paul reminds us that earthly citizenship is temporary. One day it will vanish. In fact, in this world, Christians are aliens, fully involved in it, yet not of it. The true citizenship is in heaven where Christ is. We have been born from above by God's Word and Spirit. We belong to heaven as children of our Heavenly Father. We also live with a consciousness of belonging to a different way of life, one full of love, joy, and enduring significance. Although living and serving in this world, Christians focus their mind on heaven, and they eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. To him belongs all power. Everything is under his control. One day Jesus will return to earth. On that occasion, Christ will call out and all the dead will rise from the graves. Then he will transform our bodies, which now are subject to weakness, decay, and death due to sin. Our bodies will be restored to perfection and will be like Christ's glorious body. What a marvelous promise Christ sets before us! How comforting this is, particularly in times of illness, pain, and physical decay. Our body will be transformed by the power of Christ and will be made perfect and glorious. This is what Paul tells his brothers in Philippi. He loves them and longs for them. They are his joy and crown, his honor for what he has accomplished. Paul encourages the Philippians to stand firm in the Lord, to cling by faith to Jesus, to focus on the promise of resurrection and eternal life. This also applies to us. Jesus worked for us and prepared eternal treasures for us. He summons us to believe in the promise of resurrection, of the transformation of our frail body to be like his resurrected body. Let us stand firm in the faith till the day the Lord fulfills his promise in our lives. Thank you for reflecting with us in this study. Please join us again next time.
This study has been prepared and presented by Pastor Arno Bessel. He serves St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth, Devon. The congregation at St. Peter's is expecting to meet you and to share the good news of Christ with you. Divine services are held on Sunday at 11 a.m. and Bible studies on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. For more details, visit our website, stpeterslutherans.co.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook, St. Peter's Lutheran Church, Plymouth, England. For questions or comments about any issues raised in this program, write an email to info@lutheranradio.co.uk. Check our program online and stay tuned.